the Jewish community, especially in the music industry, they'll take, in the entertainment period, they'll take one of us, the brightest of us, right, that can really feed a whole village, and they'll take us and milk us till we die.
Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today, we're going to talk about Kanye West. You may or may not have heard he's been going on somewhat of a rant lately. I've covered Kanye West and his supposed rants for, what, 10 years now? And I'm always on the fence about Kanye. I never quite know what to think about the guy. But today, we're going to cover a very, very controversial subject, because Kanye was on a couple of interviews, and he started to talk about a conspiracy theory that is highly charged, highly controversial, and I'm going to very delicately dance around this subject. But then, ultimately, we are going to go right into it. And I'm going to talk to you about this conspiracy theory about Zionist Jews. Now, I never talk about this subject because it's very divisive and it's got a lot of shady origins. But today, I am going to debunk that theory. I know. There's a lot of people out there that believe in this idea, but we're going to get into it, because what we're going to do is we're going to first talk about this interview he did with Drink Champs, which is Noriega's podcast, the rapper, because on this show, he laid in on the quote, his quotes, not mine, the quote, Jewish media for almost 4 hours. Previously, he was on Tucker Carlson on Fox News, and he mentioned it, but they cut a bunch out. And I'm still working on my Tucker Carlson interview, and I was actually planning on releasing a show about that, but then this happened, and this eclipsed it by far. So, we're going to talk about this. Noriega has since removed the show. It was up for about a day, maybe, and then he removed it. It's a lot, right? But I want to use this as a means of exploration into this theory that Kanye West is espousing. This Zionist theory of Zionist Jews controlling the world. Super controversial. This is the theory that he espoused for almost 4 hours on Drink Champs, and it blew the lid off, and he subsequently got banned off of everything. They're saying he's buying Parler, which is this conservative social media platform. It's a lot. We're going to talk this first third of my show. We're going to talk about this interview. I'll play just a couple of clips, but you'll get the rough idea of what it's about. And then the second third, we're going to go into this theory. And I'm going to give you info from a book called Suspicious Minds from Rob Brotherton. That it's a whole book about questioning conspiracy thinking. It's definitely worth reading if you're going to be into all this stuff, this truther stuff and conspiracy talk. It's good to have a voice outside of the echo chamber, and that's what that book supplies. And I'm going to go through the book, and he lays out a very persuasive argument that this whole theory about the Zionists is propaganda. It's lies. And I'm going to go into a little bit about why we need to clarify that. All right. Because it's a topic I never talk about for good reason. But real briefly, we're going to look at what Kanye said. Anyway, and the interview, you can find it on Rumble. That's where I watched it. Like I said, it got removed from Noriega's social media is he on YouTube? I have no idea. I don't follow this podcast. And, you know, I'd like to complain a little more about this. Maybe I'll save that for later. But I just have a problem, you know, I'm just going to do it. Podcasts, they used to be more of a pirate radio kind of vibe. And now all these celebrities and rappers and entertainers, they're taking it over, and I think they should F off. You know, in this show in particular, it's these guys are just hanging out, getting drunk the whole show, smoking. And I'm over here researching, hitting you with full sober professionalism because I respect your time and I want to give you a clear, coherent conversation. And what I dislike is that podcasting used to be a way for an independent voice to present ideas without some BS Hollywood middleman gatekeeper. And guess what happens? All those greedy, narcissistic celebrities that can't stand it, that maybe the focus is not on them for 10 seconds. They just can't. They can't stand it. And, you know, and no offense to Noriega or whatever. I'm sure he's a fine rapper. I listened to him in the 90s, right? But the show, it's got like four hosts. God knows how many people behind the camera. You can hear like a small audience clapping throughout. It's this massive, expensive studio. It's like, how do broke-ass normal people, normal voices compete with that? And I think it's by design. I think the system wants only authorized, cancelable voices out there. And look at how this interview went. He took it down. From threat of cancellation, which, you know, I'm actually okay with that on some levels that he would do that, because I do think that Kanye is presenting a very dangerous topic that he did not support whatsoever. But anyway, and he also is getting beat up because he talked about George Floyd. I mean, this was like every controversial thing you could imagine. But we're going to get into it. Let's start right out. I mean, right off the bat, in the first 5 minutes. The first topic, he goes right in on Jewish people. Take a listen.
When I left Gap, I moved. We made this T-shirt, like all the tremendous stuff we're doing right now, which is a flip on Supreme, where the guy that used to work for me, Tremaine, is now at Supreme. And, you know, we can go further into that. A little bit later, but no for the problem. Main point is, so I took it over to Dove Charney at LA Apparel, and he founded Los Angeles Apparel. So then we made the White Lives Matter tees, and then when I put up the tweet, the DEFCON tweet, now he ain't releasing the tee because he's Jewish, and I'm like, see, this is my exact point that I'm making. Like, Jewish people have owned the black voice. Whether it's through us wearing a Ralph Lauren shirt, or it's all of us being signed to a record label, or having a Jewish manager, or being signed to a Jewish basketball team, or doing a movie on a Jewish platform like Disney. And we understand, it's like, I respect what the Jewish people have done and how they brought their people together. You know, they came into money through the lawyers. When after Wall Street, when all of the like the Catholics, they wouldn't divorce people.
Right.
So the Jewish lawyers came and they were willing to divorce people. That's when they first came into their money. So like, say with me and Jay, with our culture, with the darker Jews. First of all, because you got
to. This happens when anybody starts talking deep.
Okay. With the darker Jews, the 12 lost tribes of Israel, who we are, because we're Jewish also. We're from Africa also. We're the blood of Christ. So we're not just black. We are Jew, just like the Jewish people. And now we're coming into money. But the main thing is, I got to drink the Douce over the Hennessy as the first step to us coming together, like how the Jewish people came together. But we couldn't even talk about. I remember Ben Horowitz called me after 444 and said, I don't know about Jay giving up business, Jewish business secrets. And these secrets.
He's talking about building up the properties and stuff like that on 444.
These secrets they not finna be a secret no more. Like, if somebody tells me something, it's like, yo, I want to tell you this, but it's a secret. I'm like, I'm not your personal hard drive. Like, if you want to be a secret, don't tell me. I'm not here to keep nobody's secrets, because it's only the truth that's going to set us free. And what they do is, the Jewish community, especially in the music industry, they'll take, in the entertainment period, they'll take one of us, the brightest of us, right, that can really feed a whole village, and they'll take us and milk us till we die, and then Stevie Wonder's son got to get a job, right? But Cameron Azoff got a job at Apple. He's already set up because of the way Azoff is connected. And we have to make our own connections. That's what I saw. What I loved about it, I love Dove just as a human being.
And this is the guy from Adidas?
Dove is from American Apparel.
Okay.
But I'm talking about put out my White Lives Matter tee. The White Lives Matter tee don't say nothing. It don't say DEF CON or nothing on it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, put it out. And he's telling me, like, yo, I want you to visit the Holocaust Museum. And I was like, yo, I want you to visit Planned Parenthood. That's our Holocaust Museum. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, I put my life on this. At this point, because they've been fucking with me too long. They put the crazy narrative out there. My Jewish trainer, Harley Pasternak, who's Lizzo's trainer, put it out when I went to the hospital, put it in the press. Oh, I got a bunch of friends that went to the hospital. It didn't go to the press. They did that just like they did in the documentary on the third episode to say, we love Ye like the rest of y'all. We know he a genius like the rest of y'all, but sometimes you got to turn the camera off on him.
And Kanye's talking about, he tweeted, I'm going DEF CON 3, a misspelling. He meant to say DEF CON, like defensive condition. And he said DEF CON, which is super aggressive and violent sounding, right? Because his business partner, who was Jewish, said that he wasn't going to put out this White Lives Matter shirt that Kanye made. That was what originally sparked the Tucker Carlson interview, was that Kanye wore a shirt that said White Lives Matter. Kanye, of course, being a black man. And Kanye, he says, I'm going DEF CON 3 because he's saying that his partner, who was Jewish, wasn't going to put the shirt out, and Jewish people own black culture, is what Kanye is saying. Seems to be his major beef with it. That's his claim. I've got all kinds of ideas about how Kanye is wrong about everything he says, and we're going to hold that till the end. He said that, Catholics wouldn't let people get divorced, so the Jewish people would have lawyers that were allowed to give divorces or something like that. I don't really know what that means. Jay-Z was supposedly giving up the Jewish secrets to wealth to Kanye, and he's like, I'm not keeping it a secret anymore. And he goes in to talk about how they use their connections to hook up people in Hollywood with jobs and in the apparel business. And he talks about how he himself was screwed by the, quote, Jewish media. Now, as you already know, super controversial, right? Super controversial. Should he not be allowed to say them, though? You know, this is the limitations of free speech. What do you think, right? But let's keep going because there's a lot to talk about. He goes on to talk about how he just goes hard. He goes hard AF against Jewish people. Noriega looks super uncomfortable. And he tries saying multiple times that, look, I'm allowed to say this stuff. I'm allowed to be anti-Semitic because I am Jewish. Black people are one of the 12 tribes of Israel. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm not very familiar with that subject. That's what he's saying, though. He's saying, I can say it because I am Jewish. And he still going after Pete Davidson, calls him skeet, says he's a heroin addict, and how I guess someone had made a joke about Pete Davidson having sex with Kim Kardashian in front of the fireplace because of some ancestors. I mean, Kanye is like, on next level, right? And we hear that Kanye West is the richest black man in history. He's definitely the richest entertainer, right? He's the richest rapper. He's worth like $2 billion. So it's very interesting to me that this guy who's worth so much, who's succeeded so well, seems to think the system is stacked against him. And I think we'll keep going. We'll keep going. The next clip, he talks about another lightning rod topic, and that is the death of George Floyd from the 2020 that sparked the Black Lives Matter movement and questioning police brutality. Take a listen.
Moses out here. You know what I'm saying? I watched the George Floyd documentary that Candace Owens put up. One of the things that his two roommates said was, they want a tall guy like me. They want a tall guy like me. And the day when he died, he said a prayer for, you know, 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. He said a prayer for 8 minutes. They hit him with the fentanyl. If you look, the guy's knee wasn't even on his neck like that. When he said, mama is his girlfriend. They said he screamed for his mama. Mama was his girlfriend. It's in the documentary. But something that hit me, that fucked me up when I was watching the documentary, and it said, they want a tall guy like me. When I looked at that image of him, this tall black dude with the bald head, he reminded me of somebody else. Who you think he reminded me of?
Virgil.
He reminded me of Virgil. You know what I'm saying? I'm not finna cry in front of y'all because that's how they get me, right?
Kanye references Candace Owen, a conservative politician. He references Candace Owen's documentary, which I don't know if it's available or not, but apparently it shows the cops. And he's like, oh, it shows that the cops did not kill him because his knee wasn't really on his neck. That's what Kanye is claiming. And apparently this Candace Owens documentary shows. And he says they hit him with the fentanyl. And I don't know. He doesn't clarify. Who's he talking about? The cops hit him with it, or the drugs did it, or a drug dealer did it? I don't know. Saying they hit him with the fentanyl. They didn't choke him out. Seemingly defending the cops. Then, and here's the one thing that he says that I will actively give you my opinion on, because I have no doubts that he's wrong. He talks about Ray Kurzweil, and you know Ray Kurzweil because I've mentioned him on this show many times. He is a futurist. He's into technology predictions. He's the director of engineering at Google. If you listen to my show about Google AI Lambda, you know how he's part of this architecture of spiritual golems and stuff. But Ray Kurzweil says that we're going to eventually have a utopia, a perfected world, where we're led by, and this is what he says, I'm quoting it verbatim, the utopia is when we're led by the least noble and the greediest people. Take a listen.
Everybody on the same level beneath God, because we'll hop over.
That was all. Yeah. That was American. Good. Good.
You know, we'll walk over a homeless person to get to the Gucci store.
Terrible.
Ray Kurzweil said a utopia is possible where we're led by the least noble and the greediest people. Mm. I brought the head designer of Balenciaga, the greatest designer on our planet today, to Dimna. Dimna is the yay of clothing. Dimna is the Drake of clothing. Drake is the greatest rapper ever.
And you said,
I don't apologize about it.
You said in war he held fuck your baby's mother's mother?
Yeah, that was hard.
That was
hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, what's going on? What does that mean? What does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like something. Like,
we was confused.
You know what it means. So,
God damn it.
And I put like, Corey know what it means.
Corey, oh my God.
So,
yes. Let me get another one. Tell them to bring out the Yabby Yeezys. Oh my God, I'm sorry. Go ahead, continue.
Libra.
Now I'm going to talk about this further in the Tucker Carlson show I'm working on. But here's one area I know for a fact where Kanye's got it wrong. He's talking about the technocracy, where the scientists rule and their logic and their reason is what makes the decisions in our culture. Which ironically is what the Bavarian Illuminati wanted to bring about. But again, we'll cover that a little bit more. In fact, we're going to cover the history of the Illuminati as it pertains to this Zionist theory in the show here, coming up here in a few minutes. He also talked about Drake in that clip. He had said that Drake slept with Kris Jenner. Bombshells, right? But who knows? Is Kanye off his meds? Is he crazy? Is he just being sensational? He seems to do this thing where he says sensational stuff and then he walks it back, which is crazy to me, but whatever. Yeah, for the next 3.5 hours, he just keeps going back to Jewish people the whole time. I'll give you a brief timestamp. Around the 45-minute mark, he talks about how Trump was picked on because he didn't have the Jewish media on his side, and how the Jewish media is communist and it's associated with the left wing. He's going in hard, right? About the 1 hour mark, they ask him what he means by saying that he is an anti-Semite, because he says, I am an anti-Semite. And he says that Ice Cube put him onto it and he's going to finish the job. What the hell does that mean? These are very veiled threats. And meanwhile, Ice Cube on Twitter denied being anti-Semitic. He said, and I quote, "I hate that my name was dragged into this drunk champ's BS. I don't know what Ye meant by his statements. You're going to have to ask him. I didn't put the batteries in his back. Please leave my name out of all the anti-Semitic talk. I'm not anti-Semitic and never have been." Now, if you recall, back in early 2020, I think it was, he was pushing hella conspiracy tweets, which again does not make you anti-Semitic. But I did believe, if I recall, some of them had Jewish connotations, like the Star of David being a cube, which again doesn't make you anti-Semitic. He had one of these old dudes at a table playing Monopoly and had humans holding the board up, and it says, you know, they're the slaves, and it says all you have to do is stand up. And again, none of this is clearly anti-Semitism. People could interpret it that way, though. And that's what Ice Cube is trying to clarify, is like, I'm not anti-Semitic. Some people point out his lyrics, some of his lyrics were, but apparently he just had problems with one particular music insider who was Jewish. It's quite the story here. Around 1 hour and 11 minutes, he references Prodigy from Mobb Deep. He recites the line, "Illuminati want my mind, soul, and my body," which is how I signed my hip-hop conspiracy book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. He says that... Oh, boy. He just goes in and in about the Jews. He says it is an anger to wake him up until things change, implying that he's going down this road and he's going to make some kind of change. What specifically that means, we don't know. An hour 25, he says, and I quote, "I do not like to read," and goes on to talk about how all the information in our world that's worth knowing comes from your father and God. Which again, I'm pro book. I like to read books. Okay. I don't think you should be limited by the information your father gives you. And I certainly don't think you should be limited to the information that God is talking to you with, right? Because sometimes people, they can be schizophrenic. You know, I live in Utah. This is the land of God talking to people. And sometimes they think it's God and it's not. Maybe it's demons. You don't have the power of discernment. It's a very dangerous idea. In fact, I'm watching a show on Netflix. What's it called? Sins of the Mother, about Chad Daybell and Lori something. Oh my God. Craziness. That's out here in Utah. You know, the LDS religion. A lot of people think that God's talking to them. But he talks about how, at an hour 28, he talks about how God created music in order to worship him, but the current music can take you to a dark place. I agree with him there. He's saying that the lyrical content of a lot of the hip-hop is about negativity, which is ironic because Kanye's given us a fair amount of negative rap lyrics. Less than usual, though, right? Like, he's not necessarily a gangster rapper. His references to guns and drugs and women is, you know, probably practically nothing compared to others. He says that the Jews run everything, and it's just like the Lego movie, which is interesting because the Lego movie did have symbols of sorcery and magic. And you'll find out when you listen to the rest of the show that the conspiracy against the Jewish people is that they practice these things. But if you know the occult, you know it is definitely not limited to Jewish people. About 2 hours and 40 minutes, he goes into anti-Semitism and he provides some rap lyrics because they're pushing him. They're like, "What are you? Why are you being this way?" You know. And he says, "I'm a FUB, I'm a shoot a N, blah blah blah." And he's like, "Now that's anti-Semitic." That's what he says because he speaks in like this parable stuff. And what he's saying is that I think what he's implying is that Jewish people control the music industry and they are anti-black culture, so they push the violent stuff to keep black people in a sort of limited state of awareness. And at around this time he says all white people are racist. He proves it in his mind by talking about sports ball. I don't know much about this. Patrick Mahomes, who is a black quarterback. He's a football player, right? I guess that he's claiming that he was controlled to throw a game against Tom Brady or something. He says he loves Tom Brady, but he was taught to love Tom Brady. And white people are teaching everyone to love white people. They're teaching people to love Superman because he's white. That's what he's arguing. Around the 3 hour mark, Noriega pushes him on the White Lives Matter stuff and how I guess Kanye was supporting some kind of Confederate flag. And Noriega's like, "Why, dude? Why? Why are you doing this?" And he's like, "Man, why do you want to prove that George Floyd didn't have a knee on his neck? Because it's really not about George Floyd." That's what Noriega says. And his argument is that it's about police brutality against black people, which a lot of people get wrapped around the axles with George Floyd. "Oh, he was a drug dealer. He's a scumbag." And it's like, well, who cares? Neither here nor there. You don't deserve to get killed by the police because you signed a fake check or whatever. The separation of powers is there for a reason. Cops are not the executioners. And Noriega says, "Look, Kanye, we know white lives matter, but what about black lives matter when we're the ones getting killed every single day?" And Kanye says that since the Black Lives Matter movement, black people are getting killed more. And he goes, and he uses, this is what I like about Kanye. He says stuff and then he has zero supporting evidence for it whatsoever. So he says, "Hey, remember in the 2000s when I was wearing tight jeans and everyone called me out on that?" And Noriega brings it back to race and he's like, "No, Kanye, we're really getting killed out here." And Kanye, he's hard to track down, right? They can't tie him down to a response. And Kanye's like, "Well, white lives matter doesn't mean that black lives don't matter." And Noriega lets him off the hook with that. He's like, "Good enough, I guess." And, you know, Kanye rambles and he ends with, you know, "I'm sure Moses had to apologize to his people too for guiding them." He thinks he's the new Moses. Okay. And that's generally it. And you can fill in, and I'm not even exaggerating, I bet 90% of the 3.5 hours that show was Kanye talking about how Jewish people control the world. He's clearly espousing a conspiracy theory about Zionist Jews. And, you know, and you could have that argument, right? It's a very common argument in the world of conspiracy. The idea that, because if you look at, because you can cherry pick through, right? Like you can look at news media, Hollywood, entertainment, financial sectors, the Diamond District in Manhattan. You could look at all these things and say, you know, Jewish people are a very small percentage of the population, yet they're running a lot of these major corporations or businesses or whatever, major sectors. You could have that argument. And I'm going to peel that back and sort of provide a talking point that you won't hear on most conspiracy type shows. And my main problem with Kanye is he is labeling the entire group of Jewish people instead of specifics. Like, who's he talking about? He keeps talking about how he's picked on by this media. Who exactly is it? He's always talking in riddle, you know? And what, you know, and he's not scared. He's up there saying, I want you to kill me now. Kill me now is what he keeps saying during the show. So let's look at this, right? Let's look at why Kanye is obsessed with the Jewish Zionist thing, why I don't really talk about it on this show ever. And mostly, to me, it's because I feel like it ultimately promotes division and bigotry. And there's a long history on this thing. And again, whether it's right or wrong is beyond me. I just know that I've seen enough to say, okay, this is not bearing enough fruit to be worth incorporating into my worldview, right? And even if it was true, I wouldn't want to be the one to espouse it and promote it. There's people that hate Jewish people. That happens. It's one of the most persecuted and beat up groups. So let's get into this. Let's get into Rob Brotherton's Suspicious Minds book. Right off the bat, in chapter one, he covers it. Because Rob Brotherton's book is all about why people believe conspiracy theories. And he's, in a way, not apologetic, but he points out that some conspiracies are real. So it's not necessarily a bad thing to believe in it. He just kind of dismantles why people believe them. All right. So in chapter one, he goes into it. He suggests how the internet was able to blow the conspiracy theories into the mainstream because, you know, obviously the internet connects all of us. I mean, any loser like me can get on here and spout whatever I want. But that's why I always try to back it up with sources and resources so that you don't just hear my opinion. You know, that's what I don't like about a lot of these conspiracy guys. They just rile people up with their opinion. And people have predetermined ideas about what they think is real, and they're like, yo, yeah, he said it on the thing, I heard it. Well, that doesn't make it real. But the history of actual conspiracy theories goes way back to Rome with Nero and the Great Fire, or even further with the origins of Rome and the disappearance of Romulus. We talked about Romulus and Remus in my Raised by Wolves 3-part series back in 2019, I think it was. But one massive conspiracy that persisted throughout time and to this day is that of the Illuminati, okay? And its founder, Adam Weishaupt, which, as you know, my name is Isaac Weishaupt, but guess what? That's not my real name. That's a pseudonym. Was it the dumbest pseudonym I could have possibly chose? Yes. Is it too late to change it now that I've written 9 books? Yes. So, anyway. But yeah, Adam Weishaupt, he was super into secret societies, like the first secret society by Pythagoras, the Brotherhood, or the Freemasons. So Weishaupt was like, I'm going to start my own, the Illuminati. And here were the goals of the Illuminati, and I quote, to render unto man the importance of the perfection of reason in his moral character, to oppose the wicked designs in the world, to assist against the injustice suffered by the unfortunate and the oppressed, to encourage men of merit, and in general to facilitate the means of knowing and science. Now, how ironic. Kanye is campaigning for a technocracy led by Ray Kurzweil and Elon Musk and Kanye himself, which is precisely what the Illuminati wanted. They want the technocracy. All of the Illuminati occult literature, Francis Bacon, they all talk about this. The secret destiny of America, Manly P. Hall, they all want this. And Kanye is just one in a long line of people that are advocating for it. I don't think he knows this. He's the one that said he doesn't read books, so I don't know. Maybe you should try that. But the Illuminati back in the 1700s was all about the peaceful transformation of society through covert subversion. And they would do it through people's positions of power. They would even infiltrate the Freemasons and all that. Now, in Germany, in Bavaria, but the Bavarian authorities, they banned the Illuminati. They were like, we're not having that. So Weishaupt and the Illuminati, they fled. Theories are that they went underground and they spread throughout Europe and even America. Then in 1789, the French Revolution kicks off, which was 10 years of chaos and revolutionary changes to society where we got rid of the aristocracy and bloodlines and the influence of the church. Things changed for humanity during this period. That's why it's such a well-known period of time. It effectively ushered in elements of democracy and liberalism and letting people live how they want to live and not have to live up to other people's roles. Sounds good, right? Now, at the end of the French Revolution, there were two authors who were making these writings about conspiracies, about who was architecting the French Revolution. Because the French Revolution was supposedly, you know, by the people, they, you know, whatever, stormed their capital. I don't know what happened. But there were conspiracy theories, and a guy named Augustin de Barrel was one of these theorists, and he was a very staunch religious figure, so he didn't like this. He liked it when the church could tell people how to live. He didn't like the Enlightenment. He didn't like science. He liked none of that. So he wrote this conspiracy paper, right? And was saying that the Freemasons and the Jacobins, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, they premeditated this whole thing, and they were controlled, of course, by the evil Illuminati, who wanted to overthrow all of society and religion, which I read to you the ideas of the Illuminati, and it sounds very possible that that's what happened. It could be. So this was one of the big first conspiracies to persist over time. The second big one is that of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And what this is, it's meeting minutes from a supposed gathering of these architects, these world global architects, as Kanye calls it, the Jewish media. Now, supposedly, these elders of Zion got together and they had a big meeting and they took notes and it got leaked in Russia. And it was this meeting with the chief elder giving the protocols to the rest of the Zionists, the Jews. And the protocols are the moral principles of their big global scheme. They call the non-Jews, they call them Goyim. The Goyim are barbarians with no intellect, and they shouldn't be allowed to govern themselves. So the Zionist elders need to. They need this eventual global dictatorship. And if you're paying attention, you could see how this fits into the narrative. And I think the truth is obfuscated through all this stuff. I do believe in a new world order, a global war, dictatorship, technocracy, whatever it looks like. I don't think it's limited to one race of people, though. They try to put the blame on one group of people, and that's where I disagree. And you'll find out why here soon. So how will these Zionist elders do it? And it lists the reasons on the protocols. And this is the blueprint for a lot of conspiracy theory talk. When you get into people that are into this geopolitical talk all the time, which I don't do, here's what the Protocols of the Elders of Zion says. It says they're going to sow seeds of discord, fostering antipathy among races, classes, and nations. Antipathy means to dislike. So basically promoting division, divisiveness, hatred for one another. Which is, again, why I don't do that. I don't want to promote hatred. I wouldn't, you know, Kanye is promoting hatred of the Jewish people when he goes on this show and tells all of his fans, he's a very persuasive individual. People are going to respond to this. They're like, the Jewish people control me? Oh, I didn't know that. I guess I should hate Jewish people. Well, clearly it's not all Jewish people. In fact, I worked at a car wash when I started from the age of 13 to 16 with a couple of Jewish guys who were also young. And, you know, if you were controlling the world, you wouldn't have to work at the car wash. Right? The protocol says that they're going to do this through full control of the media, the mainstream media. Oh, my God. You know, that's what Kanye is talking about. But what about Fox News? He was okay going on Fox News. Fox News is the mainstream media. If you look at the top 10 most watched cable TV shows, Fox News owns 9 of them. No one's listening to CNN or MSNBC. That is not the mainstream media. Fox is. Everyone listens to Fox. And Fox is always trying to do propaganda. Be like, oh, we're just the little guys. Don't listen to the mainstream. No, they are the mainstream. It says they're going to manipulate politics. They will undermine religion by replacing it with ruthless materialism. Now, ironically, free market capitalism is sort of materialism, right? But it also brings to mind traditionalism. We did several shows on Steve Bannon and this philosophy of traditionalism in 2020. And Steve Bannon believed in this idea of how awful materialism is and modernity, and we need to go back to a traditional time before all this stuff, before everything went bad, which could be a dog whistle to this kind of thing. Because right here it's saying that the Zionists will be instilling ruthless materialism. It says that they will spread plagues and famine. They will conjure up recessions. They will assassinate heads of state, start futile wars, fill the population with dread and terrorize them into submission, all the while remaining hidden until the Gentiles will no longer be able to fight back. Now, as you could imagine, any event in society could be interpreted through this lens, through these protocols, as to this secret machination of the elders of Zion, which is precisely what would happen for the next 200 some years. Every world war is blamed on them. They blame jazz music on them because jazz music was considered too indecent at the time. They blame chewing gum on it because it was supposed to make women promiscuous. And this protocols document would be renamed and distributed all over the place. One scholar claims it's the second most printed document outside of the Bible. But is it true? Right? Because we entertain conspiracy theories on this show. Is it true? Historian Norman Kahn, C-O-H-N, says that they are, quote, an atrociously written piece of reactionary balderdash. It's a forgery and plagiarized from a bunch of obscure sources. And you have to know the past treatment of the Jewish people. The motivation behind this demonization through the Protocols of Zion document goes way back. There's always been a distrust and hatred of Jews. Even St. John Chrysostom from the 4th century church, Christian church, denounced Jews as baby-killing devil worshipers. In 1215, Pope Innocent III didn't even want Christians associating with Jews. He made Jews wear distinguishing clothing, which would become the yellow badge of shame worn throughout the Dark Ages, then again in Nazi Germany. The Inquisition was about squashing any heresies against the Roman Catholic Church, and this included mass execution of Jews and burning of their holy books. It was believed that the Jews were Satan worshipers because they hated Christians and practiced black magic. They were alleged to poison Christian water wells. They were blamed for the Black Plague. They were believed to conduct blood libel where Jews would murder Christians and drain them of their blood for Passover meals. And these ideas spread everywhere. And then here comes the French Revolution and things take a real big turn, right? Jewish people all of a sudden have this basic human rights, and they embrace the liberalism of the whole French Revolution. And they were now able to not be discriminated. They were able to leave poverty and start new jobs, because previously they were banned all over the place. Everyone hated them. They were banned from just doing whatever they wanted to for work. Can you imagine? Work sucks to begin with. Imagine not even be able to pick the shit job you want to have. And some Jews became very wealthy during this process. And the non-Jews were getting mad. You know, this is like in America when you have immigrants coming in and they bust their tail and they work really hard and they have a successful business. And everyone's like, hey, they're taking the jobs. It's like sometimes they have that hunger. They got that drive because they start from nothing. They got nothing, you know? So now there's this social tension because the non-Jews were saying, hey, these Jews are taking all the jobs and all the money because of this new social order, this human equality BS. And Jews became synonymous with the modern world, and all these traditional power structures didn't like it. Because they thought, well, Jews are not only anti-Christian, but they're anti-God. They're anti-man. And in 1879, the term anti-Semitism was born, and hundreds of years of superstitions became an actual ideology. And in 2020, you recall the Tiki Torch whites saying the Jews will not replace us. Remember that? It's an ideology. But after the French Revolution, in 1903, the protocols were printed in a Russian newspaper by a publisher, Pavel Khrushchevin, who was a member of a group called the Black Hundreds, whose slogan was, "Kill the Jews, save Russia." And even in America, Americans embraced the protocols document. Henry Ford was all about that action. He published anti-Semitic literature to hand out at his Ford dealerships. And it was really getting popular in the 1920s. But then it was debunked again as being... apparently, the protocols were copied from a work of fiction by Hermann Gotch, a.k.a. Senior John Retcliffe. That was his writing name. And he wrote a book called The Biarritz in 1868. And it had a chapter titled In the Jewish Cemetery in Prague. And the story he wrote was this fictional claim that every 100 years, the 12 tribes of Israel meet under the cover of darkness with ceremonial robes and plan world domination. Kind of like Bohemian Grove, right? Which, again, Bohemian Grove, not limited to Jewish people, but all the conspiracy theorists that are into this thing, they say, well, just because they're not Jewish doesn't mean they're not Zionists. They're in it with the Jews. That's what they say. So there was a book called Protocols and Biarritz that was published, and it goes point by point to prove the protocols were directly stolen from this other book, a fictional book. Then another debunk came from a journalist, Philip Graves, from the London Times in Istanbul. He received a book from this guy that he, anonymous source named Mr. X. And this book was written before the Protocols of Elders of Zion. And the book was written by a French lawyer named Maurice Jolly. And it's a fictional discussion between Machiavelli and Montesquieu. And it was basically dialogues about how there's a need for political leadership to employ dirty tactics to dominate the subjects via totalitarianism. And the Protocols of the Elders of Zion had verbatimly copied from this book, apparently. And there's other books. There's a book, The History of a Lie by Herman Bernstein, goes through the forged history of the protocols as well. And of course, as you could imagine, all the people on the other side of the argument say, well, that's all forged. Oh, that's fake. Okay. So chapter 2 of Suspicious Minds, this book, it goes into how the Nazi Germany gets involved, which is obviously the biggest crime against the Jewish people, right? In 1922, we're in Germany. A guy named William Rathnow was killed because people claimed he was part of the Jewish Zionist plot. He was killed by some German nationalists. 10 years later, Hitler would assume power, and he would erect statues to these assassins, calling them advanced fighters for the Nazi cause. Heinrich Himmler said that if these assassins hadn't done it, Germany would be under Bolshevik communist rule. Joseph Goebbels, the minister of propaganda, declared, quote, "The era of extreme Jewish intellectualism is now at an end." And Hitler would go on to cite the protocols of the Elders of Zion, and he had a photo of Henry Ford on his desk and called him an American hero. And in Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, he details the Jewish conspiracy, and he even praises the protocols. And he says, he says that these debunks of the protocols document was just another Jewish conspiracy. Hitler calls them the, quote, Jewish press, which is very similar to what Kanye is saying right now, calling them the Jewish media. In fact, I watched I think it's called White Power, a documentary about white nationalists that had several people that I've seen affiliated with Alex Jones, which is why I watched it, because I was very concerned about that, right? Not saying that Alex Jones is a white nationalist, but white nationalists probably listen to Alex Jones, right? That's what it seemed like. I saw, you know, anyway, there's a white nationalist named Richard Spencer, and they have footage of him talking about the media, and he calls them the Lügen Press, which is a German term that they use in Nazi Germany for the lying press. So you can see how this fits into the whole fake news talk, right? And again, there's merit of truth in the idea that sometimes the news doesn't get it right. Sometimes they're manipulating. So take that with a grain of salt. So the Nazi party, they take over. They put the protocols in all the German schools. Hitler degrades them. He refers to them as a fungus and a plague of rats, and how the German Aryans could only return to full power through the extermination of Jews. And this is obviously where you get the Holocaust, right? And he envisioned an apocalyptic battle between the Aryans and the Jews for the fate of the world. So he literally told his people, we got to do this. It's the end of the world, which is a very scary tactic. People buy into that stuff. Hitler said in a speech, quote, "In the course of my life, I have very often been a prophet and have usually been ridiculed for it. During the time of my struggle for power, it was in the first instance only the Jewish race that received my prophecies with laughter when I said that I would one day take over the leadership of the state and with it that of the whole nation, and that I would then, among other things, settle the Jewish problem." Now, I don't want to draw parallels to Kanye, but I have to. What's Kanye constantly saying? He's saying he's a prophet. He's ridiculed for being far ahead of his time. In the Drunk Champ show alone, he talks about this. He brings up the example of how he was the guy who started the skinny jean fashion. He says, and I quote, that he lives 25 years ahead of the rest of us, because he was talking about how he's going to become president and how he's going to end all wars. And they're like, how are you going to do that? And he's like, well, I live 25 years ahead of you. You don't even understand. And he's going to take over the free world as the new president. He says literally, when I become president. And is that or is that not exactly what Hitler was saying? And he talks about how Hitler says he's going to settle the Jewish problem. And what did Kanye say on Drunk Champs? Didn't he use language just like that? He said something about how Ice Cube put him onto this anti-Semitic thing, and he's going to finish the job. This is alarming. This is alarming. And people want to defend Kanye and be like, oh, you should be able to say whatever you want. I mean, I get it. You should be able to say whatever you want. But you have to understand there's a dangerous undertone to all this. Now, am I saying Kanye wants to become Hitler? I mean, I don't know. He's the one saying the stuff that Hitler said. I'm sure people thought Hitler was a great guy until he started doing all this stuff. Hitler would even, we're We're almost done. I know, this is dark, right? I don't like this either. Hitler would even continue to blame Jews for the wars that he started. That's how insane these people are. He blamed the Jews for World War II, even while he was sending them to gas chambers. In his final political statement, April 29th, 1945, the day before he killed himself, he said, quote, "It is untrue that I or anyone else in Germany wanted the war in 1939. It was desired and instigated exclusively by those international statesmen who were either of Jewish descent or worked for Jewish interests." And then the book goes through a bunch of examples of killings and violence based on this idea of a global Jewish conspiracy. Wenneker von Braun, the white supremacist who killed the guard at the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum in 2009, he had a notebook in his car that said Obama was created by the Jews and that the Holocaust never happened and that Jews controlled the mass media. Timothy McVeigh blew up the Oklahoma Federal Building. Remember the one with the daycare in it? Killing 168 people because of all this New World Order stuff. He was tied into this patriot movement in the 90s who distrusted the federal government. And look, again, you know, I got to throw these shades of gray in there. I'm not saying you shouldn't trust the government fully, but you got to find this a rational middle ground here. I mean, good Lord. This guy blew up a federal building with little kids in it. What the hell, man? Even Timothy McVeigh, remember, he was tied into Bill Cooper. Bill Cooper, one of the OGs. He was my red pill, my first red pill. In fact, in Behold a Pale Horse, I've got one of the original copies, and it's got the Protocols of the Elders of Zion in it. From what I hear, if you buy it today, you don't get that. They don't put that in there anymore. And look, a guy like me, I can read this stuff and discern whether or not I want to believe in it or not, but not everyone is that strong. Some people will just listen to what Kanye says and they'll run with it. And that's where things get dicey. But in that chapter, it goes into all kinds of conspiracy ideas. That, and again, another plug, Suspicious Minds, it's an interesting book. It was actually way ahead of its time. It was published in 2015. I've got a signed copy. My man, he sent me a signed copy. It talks about vaccines and elections, like how conspiracy theorists are more apt to believe that an election was rigged. I mean, this guy, he knew what the conspiracy mind would think. And this is why I think there are bad actors involved with all this conspiracy stuff, that they are trying to manipulate a psyop using this patriot stuff because they know that's their in. All this Q stuff. I think they want to put in a totalitarian, authoritarian figure in charge, a dictator with full control like Hitler. You know, I'm sure Trump wouldn't have a problem being the full-time president forever, the great dictator leader. Remember, he was buddies with North Korea, Kim Jong-un, or whatever his name is. And Kanye likes Trump, of course, right? So it could be they both subscribe to this idea. I don't know. I know a lot of people love Trump, and a lot of people love Kanye, but I'm pointing out things that I could be right, I could be wrong. I'm just pointing it out. Let's see what happens over time. But that chapter does make a very great point that real conspiracies do exist. We shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, which is what I'm concerned with, and this is why I'm giving a voice to reason here. Because conspiracies, they're oftentimes the real ones, are exposed by journalists, academics, whistleblowers. You see them on the media sometimes. Officials who work in the system will reveal the conspiracies. Yet theorists are being led down a path to believe that none of that's true because they just say, oh, all the media is fake. All the news is fake, everything. When in reality, some of those people are our allies. You know? Now, another idea you could lump into this, and we're wrapping it up now, okay? That's all the talking points for the Zionist debunking thing, all right? There's also a theory I'll add in here about accelerating the end times because Christians, evangelicals, Baptists in America, they seem very bent on helping Israel, and I never really understood why, and I still don't. Look, there's a lot of elements to this that are way beyond my pay grade. I don't fully understand the whole history. But I always thought that's a little odd that Christians are trying to help out Israel and the Jews so much, you know, considering the Jews killed Christ, right? Like those two things don't really, you know, for years, like I was saying, with all those examples, the Christian faith were persecuting the Jews for so long. So why all of a sudden are they buddies? Well, it goes back to, from what I'm reading in the research, and again, I'm not super well versed in all this, so could be a lot more to this than what I saw. It goes back to Southern Baptists like President Harry Truman. They believe that the Jewish people have covenantal rights to the land of Israel, and they're actually eagerly awaiting the second coming of Christ in the end times, because it's God's plan. It's the prophecy. And, you know, evangelicals embrace this idea. You know, even the LDS church, they have this, the white horse prophecy where the end times are coming and the Mormon church will take over and redistribute the wealth to all the followers. And they all have some kind of wackadoo theory about the end times when, in my faith, in the Orthodox Christian faith, you know what they say? They say, nobody knows. Nobody knows but God how the end's going to look or when it's going to happen. But all these other faiths, they do, right? They're trying to accelerate it. They're going to hurry it up. They're going to subvert God's will, which seems pretty disrespectful to God to me. Right? But anyways, they believe that God promised the Holy Land to the Jewish people, and that's why they believe they should have full rights to the land. And the end times are part of this prophecy, and that's why they're trying to accelerate it. This is when the rapture happens and all the good Christians supposedly get zapped up. And that's what the evangelicals and all these people think. They're like, oh, cool, we need to accelerate this so Christ can come back and I can zap up to heaven, take the shortcut, because the rest of us are just going to suffer on earth. So that could be an element here too, because Kanye very much espouses Christian subscription to the Christian faith on the show. He mentions it many times. Now, if you want to force an opinion out of me, which, again, I don't really know. I don't know Kanye personally. All I can go off of is what I'm watching. In the past, Kanye has said many things that I thought, well, I don't know. He seems like he's kind of tuned into some interesting ideas. I disagree with him on this whole Zionist plot thing for reasons I mentioned for the last 45 minutes. What I think we're looking at is a narcissistic guy who got his little feelers hurt. For instance, you go back, because if you recall back in the 2000s when Hurricane Katrina hit, George Bush was the president, a conservative Republican, and his response was lackluster and lots of people died. Again, I don't know the ins and outs. Maybe he did the best he could. I don't know. Didn't he have a brownie, this guy who was like a horse equestrian or something, a horse guy running FEMA, and he just totally botched everything when it happened. Anyway, Kanye West went on TV with Michael Myers, not the killer from Halloween, but the Austin Powers guy. And he said, George Bush doesn't like black people. Remember that? Because Kanye, for years and years, was in line with the liberal Democrats for a long, 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 long time. Then Obama becomes president, also from Chicago, and originally from Hawaii, as Kanye points out. But anyway, Obama calls Kanye, I don't remember why, he calls Kanye a jackass. And I think that's when everything changed, because narcissists like Kanye West can't handle criticism. They're soft. They're used to being gods walking among mortal men, and they can't handle it. Just like Trump. Right? The guy can't handle anything. He just fires people. He just, you know, they're soft. They're sensitive. And then Kanye wears the MAGA hat and says, I like Trump. And people give him grief about it. And he says on the Drunk Champ show around the 10-minute mark, he had on the red MAGA hat. And Kim said that was small dick energy. And then she ends up with Pete Davidson, who we all know is the poster boy for the big dick energy. And I imagine this enrages Kanye West. You know, I imagine that would hurt. That would hurt your ego. And Pete's father is also Jewish, which could be what's sparking all this hatred from Kanye. I feel like he's just lashing out because he's hurt. And I think he needs to go see a therapist. Maybe he should go to BetterHelp.com, show sponsor. Now, I don't want to pick on Kanye too hard. I listened to Kanye for many years now. He is a visionary when it comes to music, and some would say fashion. I don't know about that, but whatever. But that doesn't make him a leader. Like, he says, oh, I'm going to end all wars. Oh, really? You're going to end all wars? And they even press him. They're like, how? And he's like, I live 25 years ahead. Okay, dude. And he proceeds, and he talks about how he had the blueprint for the Jay-Z Blueprint album, which is what put Kanye on because he was a beat producer. I'm like, okay, Kanye, let's get you back to bed, buddy. You're gonna be a great president. You're gonna do good, buddy. Because in American culture, we do this weird thing where we insist on worshiping these supposed enigmas. You know, there's only one smartest guy on the planet. God forbid we didn't have them around. The visionary, the CEO selected from God himself, who just knows it all. We should just bow down and worship. I'm talking Elon Musk, who's, you know, him and Kanye are kissing and making out now because Elon wants to buy Twitter and Kanye wants to buy Parler and whatever. Albert Einstein even. Yeah, I'm picking on Albert Einstein. He's dead. Not saying I'm not taking anything away from these guys. They're smart guys. But we in America simplify everything. Edison, you know, Edison had all these patents for inventions. Yeah, he was a great inventor, but he didn't come up with all that stuff. He had a company full of people that did it for him. You know, we want to believe that these people did everything on their own and God selected them to be the greatest. But that's just not the truth. You know, walking on, standing on the shoulders of giants, they say. Because in the theory of evolution and revolution, you have to give homage to all the people who came before you, right? I could sit here and say, wow, I'm the gifted podcaster. God gave me all these skills. Look how good I am. I'm top 0.1% in the world. That's actually what it says on the website. But I could say that, right? But that's not true. There's a lot of people that helped me get here. Freeman Fly gave me my first interview on a podcast. Big Mad Radio Show out of Oklahoma gave me my first interview on radio. Greg Carlwood put me on Higher Side Chat. Sam Tripley and the boys at Tinfoil Hat helped me grow the audience. You guys supported me over the years. You know, my wife helped me carve out how to talk to people and how to do it better. I went to Toastmasters. And why did I go to Toastmasters? Because some mentor that I knew said, hey, man, you should work on your public speaking. I mean, it goes on and on and on, right? It's not just me. And the same goes for Kanye, is all I'm saying, and all these people. They're products of a lot of different influences. And no one is just a genius in a vacuum. But Kanye wants to believe that. He wants to tell you that. Okay, so he's great at rhyming and making beats and fashion. Does that mean he should be leader of the free world? No, absolutely not. You know, and that's the thing. That's actually the beauty of hip hop and rap music. It's constantly evolving off of beats and lyrics of older rap music. Because you listen to a lot of songs today, you'll hear beats from 10, 15, 20 years ago. If you're an old loser like me, all day long, I'm like, wow, this is that beat from that song from 20 years ago. You know, it's kind of hot. I like that. And look, Kanye, he's so full of himself. On his album, Donda 2, is it Donda 2 or Donda? He had that 4-minute track of just someone repeating the word Donda. Like, okay, dude. He even does it on Drunk Champs. He even, like, repeats himself, like, for a minute straight, the same line over and over, like he's a great. You know, not everything he does is great, and that's okay. He's saying all the world's run by the greedy people, and that's him, right? He's greedy. He didn't even give his own fans, who made him the world's richest artist, wouldn't even let him have Donda 2 album unless they paid $250 for his stem player. Real story. True story. He's not for the people. He's not a man of Christ. He's a narcissist. Look, he's done some good things. Like, he made a gospel album that was actually really good. So that's awesome, man. And you know what? There's flawed heroes out there too. I appreciate that he has the balls to stand up and say he's a Christian in a field that doesn't openly embrace that all the time. So he's not all bad. I think he's off the mark with this, though. I think he got hurt by something or somebody, and he's lashing out. And you know, maybe he's off his meds. Maybe he needs medication, which is, you know, unfortunate that he's not on his meds. If that's the case, I don't know. But anyway, that's the whole story. Thank you for listening. This is a very sensitive topic. The research is very tough. Because look, I have this propensity that I want to believe in conspiracy theories too. And some of them I fully believe in. Some of them I totally don't believe in. Some of them are in the middle. But we have to be careful that we're not sowing these seeds of divisiveness and bigotry and blaming each other as part of this larger agenda, because that doesn't help anything. I do believe in some form of global New World Order, but to me it's pretty clear that this Zionist idea is rooted in lies and is dangerous. Regardless of what you want to believe about it, it has in fact resulted in a lot of bloodshed and dangerous ideologies. And I just don't think it's baggage that we need to continue to drag around with us anymore as we try to explore the world and what's really going on around us. Like I said, I've got lots of shows on Kanye. I've covered this guy a lot over the years. So feel free to go back through my back catalog. And I'm going to work on a show about Kanye and Tucker and that show. So thanks for your support. Thanks for listening. And again, if you want to go ad-free, I got a quick plug. You want to go ad-free, get a couple free books, go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. I now have an annual subscription option. You get 16% off. I maxed it out for you. That's the most they'll let me give you, so that's what I gave you. Or you can do my VIP section. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the VIP tab, and you can compare the options. Link is always in the show notes. Till next time, stay woke.